You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24. This week we hear the story of Hedvig Alexander, a native Dane and one-time army captain who moved to Canada 8 years ago and set up Far and Wide Collective. The social enterprise harnesses trade and uses it as a way to improve the lives of craftspeople in developing countries. This week, Hedvig shares her story.
Well, I had an early career in the Danish army as an officer, and I worked both in Moscow and in the Caucasus. It was never meant to be my full career, it was something I did for a couple of years. I went from there to in Afghanistan, where I was an officer. I got a job with the United Nations through Danish Foreign Ministry, and I really always believed that there was a new way of doing these things, a way of thinking about development and poverty in a new way. And that's really how I started my current business. I ran a couple of charities in Afghanistan. I worked for the United Nations, the development program part of it, for some time. And then I ran an organization called Building Markets that was really trying to inspire the Afghan private sector, because so much of development money that goes into developing countries actually comes out again. We created a whole database of all the vendors in Afghanistan and all the different sectors. So procurement officers, even if they couldn't, you know, for security reasons, leave their offices, they could go online and try to find things in Afghanistan before buying them somewhere else. We worked a lot with the business community on how to help them understand the tendering process for all these huge projects that the American Army and the UN and some of the national, building the national police and the national government were tendering, to make sure that Afghan businesses had a chance to win them and not always foreign companies. A new immigrant is three times as likely to start a business as somebody who was born in that country. And I can completely see why, because you come there and you have no connection to the country apart from, in my case, I was luckier than most immigrants that come to Canada, because I was married into a Canadian family, and there was some sort of network and support for me there. And most people don't even have that, you know. Close to 350,000 people come to Canada every year. You feel, I might as well start something myself, because you have almost nothing to lose. You have to build something completely new up, and you can either try to do something for yourself if you have an idea or a vision or a dream of something. Of course, you can try to do all the networking and get the kind of job that you think you might want. But of course, for me, the very attractive aspect of this was that I could be in Toronto, having access to the North American market and sort of commercial infrastructure, while still being involved in development, but in a much more market-driven kind of development, which I really believe in. It's supply chain, it's fixing that gap between that woman in Ethiopia or Afghanistan or Swaziland and, you know, either our knit shop, but in the case where we work with very big companies, you know, their desire to buy these products, but there's simply too much of a gap in the middle. The businesses are often not quite market readiness to deal with sort of the procurement structures and demands of these larger businesses. And I think that's really where there's an opportunity. I mean, people sort of sometimes go into this because they love the idea of design and they love jewelry. And not to say that's a very good motivation too, but my motivation was really to fix the back end, to fix the supply chain, to figure out what was missing to make this gap. Because for me, you know, as somebody who really believes in development, whether we believe in capitalism or globalization, I don't think that really matters. These are the systems that we have at the moment. And I think the task for us is to, how do we make them accessible and as fair as possible for as many people as we possibly can? And so I see Far and Wide as a company trying to create some more equitability in the global market and trying to get a whole new host of producers who really have very beautiful products access to this big economy. Because this big global economy, if you can't trade, if you can't access the global economy, you will be poor, you will be isolated, and so will your children. We've just launched a very exciting project called the PIN Project, which is trying to really merge the beauty of the handcrafted with, you know, one of our time's biggest challenges, you know, the refugee crisis, that is the largest number of displaced people since the Second World War, you know, more than 65 million people around the world. And so we wanted to try to address that. It turns out that many of those refugees and displaced people and people who have returned home after having been displaced or been in refugee camps for many years, our craft producers have skills. And so we thought, how can we leverage that? So we got a well-known Canadian designer called Jenny Bird to design a very beautiful pin. And it's now being produced by, you know, for refugees and displaced that returned all over the world, the Middle East, Afghanistan, parts of Africa. And so we thought we really wanted to do this, but we also wanted to do it in a way where we would invite the general public in to be a bit more involved in these things. Because I think we have these big issues of our times. We have the climate, we have global warming, we have hunger, we have the refugee crisis. I think we can only really solve these things if we can find a way to involve people. So the idea behind this pin was to, it's $25, hopefully something most people can manage, you know, two sandwiches or six cups of coffee or something like that. And then we're selling it on Kickstarter because we think these crowdsourcing funds are incredibly democratic. And we've just had a huge amount of people buy already. We've sold several thousands. And, you know, people can buy a pin, but they can also just give a dollar if they want to be involved but don't have a lot of disposable income. So back to this idea of creating more creative financial models for these businesses and for general inclusion. I think that the crowdsourcing model is a very interesting one. So to your listeners, I would encourage you to go and look at the pinproject.co and have a look at that big endeavor. I very much feel that everything I did in my career has led me to exactly this moment and has given me the skills to do exactly what I'm doing now. But I couldn't have told you that, you know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago. I just see that now. Obviously, the army, and I still am so delighted that I was in the army. I just think it gives you an incredible, unique structure in your life. It gives you discipline. It teaches you to be in a leadership position, you know, leading a lot of people in a very early age, which is really useful. It's people from all over your country, different backgrounds, different educational, social backgrounds, and everything is different. And you are, you know, you are there together and you're lifting these challenges together. And that's one of those things that creates the social fabric in our countries. And I think the army is still an incredibly valid way of doing that.
Thanks very much to Hedvig, founder of Far and Wide Collective, for sharing her story. Head to thepinproject.co to find out more about a fantastic project that Hedvig has set up to support the victims of the refugee crisis. This edition of Eureka was edited by Kieran Matthew Banerjee. I'm Matt Alagaya. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.